Proverbs chapter 3 is a couple of verses that are very familiar. I've seen them on bathroom walls and kitchen walls and bedroom walls and about every place I can see, but I don't see them much in the lives of people. And I'm going to look for those two familiar verses, verse 5 and 6, and then we're going to look at some other passages of Scripture. We'll read a lot of Scripture here in the beginning, and then I'm going to get in the message. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not thine own understanding. Now, when I grew up, I heard a lot of things said, and one of the things I heard all the time was, God gave you a brain to think with. I'm 39, that's not too old, but it's old enough to figure something out, and that is, I'm not sure God gave me a brain to think with. He said, trust the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not thine own understanding. And every time I leaned on my own understanding, I got in a mess of trouble. Because my little pea brain just can't figure things out like it ought to. And people say, well, God gave your brain to think. Well, I think He gave your brain, turn over to Him, let Him do the thinking. He said, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. People are always quoting the last part of the verse, and that's where their emphasis is. But as it is with many of the promises in the Word of God, if you don't fulfill the condition, you're not going to get the promise. And He shall direct thy paths. People are talking about the Lord led me to do this and the Lord led me to do that. And I don't believe about 80% of them because I see him doing things contrary to the Word of God. The Lord will not lead a man or a woman contrary to the Word of God. And they say, well, I prayed about it. Well, you probably prayed wrong or got a hold of the wrong computer somewhere when you prayed. Because if you don't acknowledge God in all your ways, He's not leading you. Somebody else is leading you. Now turn, if you would, to 1 Kings chapter 18. I'm going to read one verse out of there. And I'm going to stretch something here, but I'm not going to stretch it far. And I can tell you I am, and you'll understand. And get Malachi, 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings 18. And that's the story of Elijah and those prophets of Baal. And they come along there. And I always like that because when I picture those things, I picture Elijah there, standing there with his offering, the bullocks there, and the trench there in the water, and the Lord comes down, accepts his offering, and then those old priests of Baal, they're standing there, they cut themselves, jumped up and down, did everything all day long. And when you get through that whole story, the picture I always get in my mind is there's Elijah standing there with nothing but answered prayer. The Lord came down there and the fire licked up the water and the altar and the sacrifice and the whole thing, and there's those priests with what they got today, just a bunch of bull. Okay, 1 Kings 18, verse 21. And I got a message on that, but I didn't preach that. 1 Kings 18, 21. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him, not a word. Now, if you've got Malachi, I want you to turn to Malachi. And that's the last book in the Old Testament. And if you've got that passage, look there about verse, well, we'll look down there about verse 8. About verse 8. And then we'll look at verse 13. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offered now to thy governor, will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? And in verse 13, he said, you said also, behold, what a weariness is it. And I see people all around today being weary in the work of the Lord. But Paul says, be not weary in well-doing. Maybe somebody's not doing well. And ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts, and ye brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus you brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord. Now, Father, I thank you this morning for the meeting we've had already and the work you've done in hearts. And I pray, Father, it'll be a lasting work, not some emotional little old thing people cry, get on an altar, and then forget about. But, Lord, I pray that this will have everlasting effects in our lives. I thank you for the opportunity to be here. I pray you help me to preach, to be concise, and be clear. Lord, I pray that the Holy Ghost of God will preach this message through me, and the words will go forth, not my own wisdom, not my own power, Father, but in thy power and in thy wisdom and in the assurance of the Holy Ghost. We'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, while I'm talking, turn to Psalm 118. When Elijah called those people together, Elijah said, how long halt ye between two opinions? Now, that word halt, I know something about that, and I'm going to preach this morning on crutches. Crutches. That's what I'm going to preach on, because I know about crutches. I've been on them for 35 years, and I had a fellow one time at a meeting in Mobile, Alabama, come up to me, and he said, is that condition of yours permanent or temporary? I said, it's temporary. And he said, how long you been on them? He said, how long have you been on those things? At that time, I said, 33 years. He said, I'd call that permanent. I said, that's the difference between me and you. Amen. He had on a white suit, white tie, white shirt, white socks, and white shoes, and probably he's one of those fellows that held his breath till he's blue in the face and then talked funny. Psalm 118, verse 8. So I'm going to preach on crutches. I want to establish a grammatical thing here, and this will be the only good English you'll hear in this whole message, because I don't do my best not to. I do my best to, but it just don't work anyway, and I'm sorry about that. But Psalm 118, verse 8 says, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Now, the first thing I want you to know about crutches is crutches can be people. Crutches can be people. Crutches is a noun, so if you ever remember anything in English, you'll know the rest of it. Crutches can be people. People can lean on other people. But I want you to know some people die. Amen. But I got somebody to lean on, and he doesn't die. Turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Like I said, we'll get a lot of scriptures in here, and then I'm going to give you some things that I've learned about crutches, and we'll apply them to our lives. You say, is that a scriptural message? Well, the Lord used those analogies many times. The Lord used parables and talked about different things, and the Lord gave me this message, so if you have a problem with it, you'll have to talk to him, and don't mess with me. I'm just the servant. He's the boss. John chapter 4, John chapter 4 and verse 19. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Now, you worship ye know not what. That's the way most people are. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Now, I read that passage just for emphasis to let you know that crutches can be a place. Crutches can be a place. Some people think that they have to be a certain place to worship God. Whenever I think about that, I'm reminded of a fellow named Billy, and I can't remember his last name, Billy Rose, in Wichita Falls, Texas. And we were on the street there preaching, and I went to jail with Billy, and we were in there for a little while, and then the Lord got in that and dropped the case and everything. It was a wonderful time. And I appreciated what Brother Williams said last night, because the preacher I was with, he was all gung-ho, and he said, yeah, bring them on, we're going to jail, and all that kind of stuff, and he thought that was great. And then we were all talking to those policemen, and I'm not going to run from it, but I'm not really looking for it, you know what I mean. And, I won't run from it, but I'm just not going looking for it. And I never thought jail would be any kind of a picnic, and it wasn't, even though there were picnic tables in there, but it wasn't a picnic. And I don't like bologna sandwiches for breakfast, you know what I mean. So we got in there, and all of a sudden we got in jail, and that guy, I noticed his countenance changed, and his mouth dropped, and it wasn't as exciting as he thought it was going to be, amen. And it was just about what I thought it was going to be, and that's why I really didn't want to go, but the Lord had other plans. But God brought us through. And old Billy, he'd say one time, they'd fill out a form, he said, this says, where do you worship God? And Billy was on dope before he got saved, and his elevator not only didn't go all the way to the top, it never got off bottom. And Billy, the Lord gave him part of it back and everything. He quoted scripture and this and that, and he said, well, I worship God. He said, well, he said, I worship God anywhere. I worship God in that refrigerator right there. He said, people come along, open it up. He said, I'll be in there worshiping God. He said, because the Bible said, I would you were hot or cold. Amen. Some of you could use that. So crutches can also be a place. Crutches could be a place. You know, I remember there in Matthew chapter 26, where that lady came there in Mark 14, where that lady came and worshiped the Lord in the house of Simon the leper. You can't worship God in a church building if you don't worship God in the house of Simon the leper. If you can't worship God out there among the sinners, what are you doing putting on a show in a building? All right, then turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. And we'll probably be done with most of the reading. Luke chapter 12. Turning there, you know, a lady came up to me one time. I was singing in a group, and this was in younger days in Wichita, Kansas, a big fancy house and a big spiral staircase. And we were singing supposedly Christian song, but most of it was this junk that you find on the quote-unquote Christian radio today, which if you're ever going to have revival in this country, you've got to get rid of Christian radio, because that's bad. You won't have revival with that. And we were standing there, and we got all done singing. This lady walked up to me, and she said, son, I was 18 about that time. She said, son, I got one question. I said, what is it? She said, do you have to have those crutches? Well, that's kind of a dumb question. I said, my daddy taught me to be respectful, you know, and I said, yes, ma'am. I said, I have to have them. She said, well, okay. She said, I was going to tell you, if you was playing a joke, it wasn't very funny. Luke 12. She had, her problem was, or she was crippled too high for crutches. Luke 12, verse 13. And one of the company said to him, Master, speak to my brother. Boy, isn't that what people do all the time? They go to the Lord and they say, speak to my brother. Amen, Brother Harrison. Isn't that what you've done this week? Speak to my brother. You better let God talk to you. You're the one who needs it. That he divide the inheritance with me. And he said to him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And that's why you can't be happy, especially as a child of God, going after the things of this world. You can get them. And you can tie your house full of them, and the walls full of them, and the bedrooms, and the kitchens, everything. You can put it all around the place you want to, but you're not going to be happy going after things because your life's not consistent in those things. So a crutch can be a person, a place, or a thing. But that's because it's a noun. That much I know. And I'm going to tell you some things about crutches and what crutches do to you this morning. And I found out these things are true in a spiritual realm as well as a physical. And I realize that many times what goes on in the physical is simply a type or an indication of spiritually what's going on. Back here in Lamentations where they're talking about them Jews that said that they sought bread and they couldn't get any bread. And they was eating something. Well, that's physically true today. People go down there and they buy that glue and that white stuff. You can grab and just make a little ball out of it in your hand, a whole loaf of it, and they think that's bread, but that's not bread. That's not true bread. And the reason that physically we're getting all this junk is because spiritually we're sure getting a lot of junk. And I realized when Jesus Christ came the first time, Israel was in a terrible physical condition. Terrible physical condition. Brethren, you know something I've noticed around this country, among God's people, physically? Man, they're in bad shape. All around this country, they are physically in bad shape. And that tells me something, of course I knew it anyway, that they're also in spiritual bad shape. Bad shape spiritually. First thing I want you to know about crutches, and that'll be probably all the scriptures we'll turn to and read, is that other people are always stumbling over my crutches. Everybody's always falling over my crutches. I tell you, I go in a restaurant, and I can lay them on the floor, I can set them up against the wall, and some dumb waitress come by and trip over them every time. I was preaching a meeting in Delaware, in Frederica, Delaware, about a year ago, and they had me in a motel next to this little diner, and I went there late one night to get some coffee, and I went up there, and they had these old hooks to hang things on. I said, I'll hang my crutches on those hooks, and nobody can stumble over my crutches with those hooks. I didn't have these. I could only afford half a crutch this time, but I had those old wooden kind with, you know, the both ways. And I hung those crutches on the hook, and sure enough, that waitress came around with her tray and the coffee and everything and bumped her elbow on the crutches, and the way everything went. And everybody always feels bad about them. But I want you to know something. Crutches are things that people stumble over. And you know who gets hurt most on my crutches? Little kids. Little children. Those things I have that I lean on here to get around on, it's the little kids that suffer most. Because they always want to play with them. They love to play with them crutches. Now, you're going to get the idea of this message before it's all over with. I know you will. And those children, they'll get on them, and they're not tall enough to walk on them, so they'll get on a piano bench or a couch, and they'll put them on their arm, and then they're swinging off, and their legs are dangling their way, and they ain't got nowhere to go. They'll bust their noggin, you know, break their nose, or do something. Why is that? Well, little kids, they find things like that, they want to play with it. And I got news for you. It's them little ones that are going to suffer because of the crutches that the big ones are running around on. He said, trust the Lord with all thine heart and lean not thine own understanding. You say, what's that mean? That means trusting the Lord with all your heart. In all thy ways acknowledge it. Every area of your life. I'm not talking about church. You say, well, I go, so what? So what if you go to church? I'm talking about every area of your life you need to acknowledge God. Your job, your family, your church, every area of your life. And if you don't acknowledge God in every area of your life, we'll get to the next point, you're a little messed up. Other people are always stumbling over. You can't pick people up with crutches. You realize that? If you fell down and got hurt, I couldn't pick you up. If I was the only person around, you're in bad trouble. I can't pick you up. There's no way I can pick you up on these crutches. That Bible says, brethren, if a man being overtaken with a fault, bury him. That's what Baptists think it means. They're the only one to bury the wounded. Brethren, if a man be overtaken with a fault, ye which are spiritual, whoever that is. Amen. Ye which are spiritual, whatever that is. Everybody trying to define what spirituality is. I was talking to Brother Williams this morning. I said, Brother, spiritual is just being faithful. If you're not faithful in a local church, you're not spiritual. I don't care what else. You say, well, yeah, I know. You do this, you do that. There's all kinds of areas you've got to be faithful in, brother. That's all. It's just faithfulness. Not all these spiritual giants. I don't know about them. Brother Jack Wood, and I go down to him sometimes, and he said a long time ago, he said he had a couple of ladies in his church, and they prayed and prayed all the time, did all kinds of things. They were real spiritual giants. And he said he kept talking to his wife to be like that. And he said, his wife finally went there and said, look, we got 5 kids. He said, do you want a good wife that cooks for you and takes care of you and raises these kids, or do you want a spiritual giant? He said, I want a wife to take care of my family. He said, funny thing is, he said, my wife is still around, and them spiritual giants left 10 years ago. Amen, brother. Some of y'all are real carnal this morning. You can't pick anybody up. Ye with your spirit shall restore such an one the spirit of meekness, taking heed of yourselves, lest ye also be tempted. Then I got to hurry. You can't help carry a load. That'll be along the same thing. And I'll tell you what you can do with these crutches. You can kill somebody. Oh, you can take the head off with it. You can give them a real heartache, a real headache with it. And I had Ronnie Powell trying to teach me karate with the crutch, but I thought I'd probably get in trouble, so I ain't going to mess with it. Then I want you to know that crutches, not only other people stumble over them, but crutches are a false balance. They're a false balance. You see, a person that's halt doesn't walk gracefully. A person that's halt, you say, how long halt is it? When they walk, they have a little, they stop as they walk. It's not a graceful, even, flowing walk. And a crutch is a false balance. It keeps you from having that graceful kind of a walk. The Bible says a false balance is an abomination to God. These crutches overdevelop a certain part of the body. My back muscles behind here are tough. I go to a chiropractor and they grunt and groan and stand on me and everything else just to pop my back because they're just tight muscles back there. They're well developed because they're my feet, they're my legs, they're my thigh. They're my back is what carries me. And it's overdeveloped as far as the rest of the part of the body is concerned. And a crutch does that to you. And a spiritual crutch will do it to you. I'm not going to talk so much about what your spiritual crutches are because I'm going to trust God before this message is through to tell you what they are. If I start telling you a whole bunch of lists of things, I might miss you. But I guarantee you, the Holy Ghost won't miss you. He can get a hold of you. I'm just going to preach the message. If you spend all your time in a prayer room, you're unbalanced. If you spend all your time studying your Bible, you're unbalanced. If you spend all your time trying to be dispensationally correct, and I believe it, and you have no practicality and you can't find anything out of the rest of the Scripture to live with, you're unbalanced. And if you spend all your time with practical application and no sound doctrine and no dispensation, you're unbalanced. And if you spend all your time on street corners and street preaching, and you don't spend much time praying and studying the Word of God or much time helping the local church, then you're unbalanced. You're unbalanced. And that's a false balance, and it's an abomination to God. You've got to lean on those little things. I get to chasing a rabbit. I can't do that. I'll just leave that alone. If I get another shot before it's out, I'll go on. Then I want you to know something else, and we're just going. Let me tell you this about balance. You have two things going on in Christianity. You have what I call the hyper-grace crowd, the antinomians, what they are. And I'm saved by grace so I can live like hell. That's what it is. They think law and grace are enemies. That's because they never read their Bible. That's because they have no idea of the biblical view of law and grace. They think they're enemies. They're not enemies. Not enemies at all. And so you have that crowd and that loose-living crowd. I mean loose the goose. And then you have the legalists. Clear over on this side, and they're unbalanced. Brethren, that's all a false abomination. That's a false balance, abomination to God. We can't preach that. Then crutches break under too much pressure. If I was playing ping pong one time, I like to play ping pong. And I had them wooden crutches. And I went, you know, the ball comes up just high enough, and everybody goes for the throw, you know, go for the slam. And I went back for the slam ball, wham, like that, and I found my crutch went flying. Splintered. I found myself laying on the table and splintered up my nose and half a crutch here and half a crutch there. And you say, what happened? Too much pressure. I had aluminum crutches one time. I jumped down 3 steps at once. It probably didn't have anything to do with my weight. And I jumped down there and those crutches bent almost to the point of breaking. You say, what's the matter? too much pressure. I was bowling. These are back days. I was running from God. And I was bowling, and I leaned down there with that one crutch, that 16-pound ball, and I'd watch that old wooden crutch. And, boys, I'd lean back that old crutch and just kind of bow pretty good. I said, man, that's neat. That thing gives with me and everything. And I put that ball back like that, and it gave with me all right. Next thing I know, the foul line buzzer went off, and the crutch was halfway down the lane, broken, splintered. There. You say, why? Too much pressure. Now, I don't know whatever you're using in your life, in whatever area of your life, you're not trusting God, but whatever crutch you got, one of these days, there's going to be too much pressure, and it's going to break. But you know something the Bible says in Psalm 55:20, cast thy burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He'll not suffer the righteous to be moved. I've never found Jesus Christ not able to take the pressure. I never have. Boy, I've put some loads on him, brethren. I've gone in prayer to him with a broken heart. I mean, just a bleeding heart and a bawling eyes and distraught and everything else. And I just laid it off. I said, God, I just cannot. I can't take this. He said, it's about time. We think we're tough. You know, I can take it. I can take it. That isn't what God wants to hear. God wants to hear, I can't take it. When I'm weak, then am I strong. I said, okay, God, give it to me. I can take it. That isn't what he wants to hear. No, sir, God wants to hear, Lord, I can't take it. I got my face, and I laid that load on the Lord, and it was a big load. But, you know, he didn't break. He didn't bend. He didn't bow. He just took it. I say it with all due respect to my Savior, but if you're going to have a crutch, that's the one to get. Well, they're breaking under too much pressure. That comes under the heading of they're not dependable. Not dependable. They slip in the mud. You know, I quit depending on people. I let people help me, and when I say quit depending on them, I depend on them to do things, but in my heart, I realize they're flesh and blood, and I realize that I really just, my sufficiency is God, and I depend on God, and those people may let me down. If you get your eyes on people when they let you down, you get all upset, mad, bitter, and quit, and everything else. What you do, you just got to keep right with God. Well, they'll slip in the mud. I mean, things get going a little slippery and thick and hot. They slip on you. You'll fall flat on your face. Well, I've done that a lot of times. And I'll tell you something else about them crutches, about the dependability of them. You can't cover much ground on crutches. Wouldn't that be something you wind up in heaven? The judgment seat of Christ, the Lord said, man, you said, well, did the best I could. The Lord said, you did the best you could on them crutches. So if you got rid of them crutches, you could cover a lot more ground than you covered. You don't believe me? Let you and I go out for a day and let's just put all we got into it, run around, see how much ground we can cover. As much as I'd like to think I can cover more than you, I couldn't. Physically. Why, you'd outdo me 5 or 6 times. Well, the Bible believers this morning. You better understand this message. Then these crutches, they wear calluses on your body. You know, a callus is a hard place. You understand what we're talking about? You ever read Hebrews 3? He said, that's for, I know what it's for. You ever read it? It might be four, but you're part of it too. He said that they harden their hearts through the deceitfulness of sin. Little kids, they look at these hands, you know, they're calloused up, pretty tough. I'll check out a knife. I want to buy a knife. I take it and I just start cutting off the skin. Little girl at the counter or the guy, you know, they look like, I said, don't worry, that thing's thick. You know, that's a good callus. My wife's little earring, she had a little round thing or something she had me holding for one time. I'd have no place to put them, so I stuck them in my callus. And when she wanted them, I gave them back to her. And here, take them. You think you feel it? No, you don't feel nothing. Hard place. You know, when I first started out, when I first got feet, I'm hurrying fast as I can, brother. I want to get this out of the way. People can preach, but I want you to get what I'm talking about. When those calluses first start out, they're not a callus, they're a blister. Very first time they start, they're blister. And then blisters hurt. You get them blisters and then you can't, they say, don't do it, and you do it anyway. Tear it off, you know, poke a pin in it. And I'm telling you something, you put that little pin in there, if you go past that skin, that blister and that fluid, and if you accidentally hit the skin underneath, you feel it. You know something, if you take that blister and put a little balm on it, it'll get better. Leave it alone. Put that balm on it. Don't do what you did. It'll get better. But if you kind of keep using it and don't take care of it, a little layer of dead skin gets there, and then another one forms, and another form, and pretty soon you stick a pin in there and don't feel a thing. People say, "Well, Brother Harrison, I'm just not convicted about it. I can't find that anywhere in the Bible. I've looked all over the place for that, and I can't find it." I know that's a Holy Ghost convict men of sin, but that's not what we're talking about here. You know, a lot of people aren't convicted about things that are very plain in the Word of God. Well, John Wesley said, I know he's a Methodist, John Wesley said, he said a lot of good things. And the Lord used him. And I think it's going to be wonderful. I think it's going to be wonderful when one of them briders serves John Wesley. So anyway, John Wesley, he said, when a man tells me I'm not convicted about it, he said, I fear that their conscience has been seared. What all this feeling stuff is anyway? I feel good. Like what you can't have somebody as big as God in you and not feel it. I believe that. I'm happy. I throw a crutch. I don't run an aisle. I can hop it or something. Jump a pew, you know. But brethren, my life and my living is not based on how I feel about it. Not if I'm a Bible believer. You see, some people believe they have the Word of God. There's a big difference. Time to quit standing on it. Start reading it and living it. Amen. Well, some calluses. They wear hard plates. Then I want you to know something else. You can go downhill easier on crutches than you can uphill. I love the backpack and hike. I love that. I haven't been for 4 years. I haven't been able to get back up the stairs and do it, but I love it. I took my family. We went hiking up in June Lake, California. We started at Grant Lake and then went up to Parker Lake. It's a 2,000-foot incline in 2 miles, which means... And you know, you could make that, if you're in pretty good condition, you can make that in about 40 minutes, 45 minutes. It takes me about 2 hours and 15 minutes, 2.5 hours, somewhere in there. But some places, going uphill, some of those places, I just have to lay my crutches down and go on my knees. Sometimes I fell down, but I learned something falling down. If I fall backwards, somebody has to come along and lift their hand and help me up. But if I fall frontward, I make progress. You always gain 3 yards if you fall frontward. So when you fall, just fall frontward. And then, of course, when you fall frontwards, the order of getting up is first you get on your knees, and then you stand up. But you know, coming down that hill, I look at the top of that old mountain, and I get these crutches and put them in gear, and then I start pumping, and I don't quit till I fall or get to the bottom. And I can make it down in half the time it takes me to get up. You know what we're talking about? Oh, Israel leaned on her lovers, he said back there in Ezekiel, so if you lean on that old Egypt, it's going to go right through your hand. The church today, while the Baptists have just as many idols as the Catholics, they have just as many aids to worship. You know what I don't understand? I'm pretty negative about a lot of things. I'm not too sure about all the tape ministry. I praise God for it. But there's something I noticed. When we used to get in the car and go to Grammy's house, we didn't turn on the radio. We didn't turn on the cassette player. My mama had a hymn book in her hand. And we sang hymns as a family. And I don't remember my mother turning on a tape while she was doing the housework. But I can remember her singing, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." The Bible does say, doesn't it say, speak yourselves in psalms and hymns? You say, crazy people speak to themselves. Amen. Amen. So, you know, sometimes those little tapes are a crutch. I was talking to some nut here from First Baptist Church down the street. I was down there at a Hobby Knobby or whatever it is there. And I was talking to him. He said, and I was telling him about the meeting, inviting him. He said, what time? I told him. He said, "Do you have comfortable pews?" I wanted to tell him, yes, they are. And then I wanted to, you know, just reserve him a place, put a lot of tax on it. That church said, "I am rich and have need of nothing." A lot of crutches. And God said, "You're poor, miserable, wretched, naked, and blind." She took the place of God. She said, "I am. I am rich." God said, "You ain't God. I am God. You is poor. I am." You go downhill easier on them crutches. Well, then let me hurry. You can't bow down with them. Now I get in the meeting, and the Lord says, "You need to hit that altar." And the Lord says, yeah, but you need to. I said, Lord, look at that. People lined up in the altar. And I got to lock these braziers and get up. And I got to go down the altar and I got to find a place to lay my crutches. Then I got to unlock my braziers and get. He says, you're not a little proud, are you? There's no way you can get on your knees with crutches. Well, I can get right at home. You haven't yet. And I got news for you. You can't get right at home if God told you to get right in church. I'll get right in the pew. You can't get right in your pew if God told you to go forward. If you get right on your terms, you're not getting right. You're just playing games. You get right on God's terms or you won't get right. You can't bow down. If I want to bow down and get on my knees, I have to throw these things away. I'm not preaching all this. Just giving something to you. They draw attention to yourself. Crutches draw attention to yourself. I see little kids holding on to mama's hand in airports and sidewalks, a box of popcorn, run right into a wall. He said, what are they doing? Staring at you. Doesn't bother me. I get in a card shop. I travel a lot away from my wife more than I really like to be. And so I always try to send her a little card or something, even if I'm only going a week. You know, sometimes I beat the card back, but that don't make no difference. And I buy a little card, and little kid, he's standing there, and mama, she's trying to scoot him away from me because she's scared death he's going to say something. And I'm standing there praying, Lord, let him say something. Amen. And they'll, you know, say, why do you walk like that, mister? Boy, mom's embarrassed. And I said, don't worry about it. I'll tell him. And then I get to tell him, and I said, but I'm not always going to walk like this. Got on a plane flying with Dr. Ruckman to Mel Sabaka's church in Staten Island. And we were going up there, and we got off that plane. They'd been serving this guy all this vodka the whole time up there in that first class. I was sitting back there in the coach, whatever it is, the bulkhead. And this guy was just snookered, you know, snockered, whatever you call it. And I forget, praise the Lord. And I had a briefcase, another little old bag, going out, and this guy says, can I help you? I said, I don't think so. And that waitress, stewardess, or whatever they call them, you know, up there, that gal, and she said, no, you should see him get on. I said, he really handles those things like a champ, you know. And she said, I sure hope you get off pretty soon. I said, I will, and the Lord comes back. And then the conversation ended. That wasn't a strong witness. I didn't tell nobody that's going to hell or nothing. That wasn't a strong witness. That was just, all I mentioned was the Lord. And as soon as I mentioned the Lord, nobody wanted to talk to me anymore. I don't understand that. I like to talk about it. You know, some people are like old Jehu. Was it Jehu? Jehu was riding around his chariot one day, and he was doing the work of the Lord. He did that with his right, not somebody else. And old Jehonadab, son of Rechab, was going by there, and he picked him up and said, hey, come on, ride with me. He said, come and see what great things I've done for the Lord. You're like, oh, look what I'm doing for God. Little old crutch is your self-recognition. You want people to know what you're doing for God, but the Bible says, if any man loves God, it's known of him. You can't function when they're not around. I had a preacher. I hate to tell you this. I'm going to tell you. I had a preacher in New York. He was a Yankee. Try to kick my crutches out from under me. Well, I was in a meeting, and we were having a decent meeting. The Lord was trying to get in there somewhere. And I was in the middle of the islands after church and everybody was going, and he was just joking around, but it never has been too funny to me for somebody to kick my crutches out from under. And in earlier days, like when I worked over here in the Queen Mary or something, I'd have done what I did then. But I didn't want to do that. And I was in the middle of the meeting, and I said, Lord, what am I going to do? This guy is trying to kick my crutches out from under me, and he's the pastor of the church, and what? And I talked to Jack Wood later, and he said, I'd have cold cocked him. I said, that's what I wanted to do, but I said, and then I didn't want to do it. I said, I don't know what to do. I said, Lord, help me get out of this thing without causing a mess, without hurting him or me getting hurt or something. And he just kept trying, and finally I pushed him down. I shoved him in the pew, and he grabbed the hold of my arm and come down there, and I stiff-armed my hand around his neck, and he says, I'm going to give you a holy kiss. I said, ain't nothing holy about this, and you ain't kissing me. And we went going like that for a while, and finally I got away from him, and I stood back there, and then I saw him. He got up, and I looked in his eyes. Boy, it was coming. And he made a lunge for me, and I ducked, and he got a mouth full of hair, you know, and everything. He said, you know what made me so mad about that? The guy's trying to take my crutches. Don't preacher get up on him, preach, and he'll hit something. You go out and gripe and complain and bitter, murmur, and you won't get right with God, and you know what you're mad about? He's kicking your crutches out from under you. And you don't like it. And you'll do anything you can to keep them. You'll fight hard to keep those crutches. Yes, I've heard people justify. Well, I know, Brother Harrison. I know what it says, and you're probably right, but that's what I think of it, too.
You grab a hold of anything to get to them crutches. Well, let me give you about three or four. I got a whole list of things, but I never preach the whole thing because it really takes a long time. Yeah, all kinds of things with crutches. Let me do the preaching, brother. Then I want you to know the crutches tear up your clothes. Tear up your clothes. You get the judgment seat of Christ. And there's a lot of Christians.
You see, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tells you that not only are crowns available and jewels available, but your clothing for the millennium is found at the judgment. Paul says, a soul being clothed will not be found naked. The Bible says in Genesis 2, Adam and Eve were naked, but we're not ashamed. Now, they're naked around here, and they're not ashamed. But, and then he says in Revelation 3, I counsel thee buy me gold tried in the fire and white raiment, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. He says in John, little children abide in him, take that when he comes, ye shall not be ashamed. A lot of Christians, and we don't have time to go into it for the reason and what's going to happen and everything, are going to show up at the judgment seat of Christ. And because they haven't trusted the Lord with all their heart, but leaned to him, not their own understanding, because they haven't acknowledged him, their clothes are going to be a little tattered and torn. They might come out of there naked to their shame.
You see, them crutches, I'm always have to buy coats or pants or shirts. And the reason is because the crutches just tear up.
You have to keep the place in. And they come with all different price tags. Some cost a lot. Some don't cost too much. They all cost. Now, I'm going to give you two more points. And I've really been leading up to just one particular thing about crutches. I want to give you this one first, and this is a blessing to me. There won't be any in heaven. I sure am glad for the grace of God. You know, in the Old Testament, if you had something wrong with your nose, like Brother Williams, you couldn't approach God. If you were lame like me, you couldn't get the priesthood. You couldn't approach the Lord.
Boy, I'm glad. I'm glad I get up in the morning and I go to the throne, man. I can lay my head down at night and I go to the throne. I can approach. And I know that there won't be any in heaven because there's not going to be any imperfection.
So God will have to change me before I get there. Won't that be wonderful? Them dumb charismatics and stupid healers, idiotic crooks. If I get on that, no, I can't. Come on, because if I get on that, no, I can't do it. I have already, in the middle of a message, it's on tape somewhere, and I've already willed my crutches to Oral Roberts so he can get through the tribulation.
I've already done it. But I can't get on that, Brett. I just can't. But them dumb nuts don't even know something. Do you realize that I am going to learn to fly before I ever learn to walk?
They say, you got to crawl first. No, not me, brother. I'm flying first.
I mean, when that trump sounds and that voice shouts, these old crutches are going to drop down and braces are going to drop off and close, and I'll be changed and the way I'm going. I'm getting out of this place. That'll be wonderful.
There won't be any crutches in heaven.
Literally, I'll be over. Man, that's going to be wonderful. I'll be free from the world, from evil spirits and powers of hell, from the presence of sin, free from wretched terror. Well, I'll be gone.
That'll be wonderful.
But I want to give you this last, Brother said something about wife.
I want to tell you that I am so glad. I thank God for this Bible. Because of this Bible, God gave me a good one.
Somebody said the other day, I'm married. He said, Harrison, you married over your head. I said, brother, I know it. Anybody can put up with me, and I got one. And I might take just a little time here because I'm missing it right now, but I got one. And I tell you what, she's a help me. She's what she ought to be. She's a good woman. And there's nothing in this world
There's nothing in this world, not even a pastor and his people are the type. There's nothing in this world that shows the love of God greater than the relationship between a man and a woman. Absolutely nothing, absolutely nothing in this world. That book, the Song of Solomon, Song of Solomon, that book, brother, I'm telling you something about that book. That book pictures something you'll never get nowhere else. Brother, you let me preach. You got a wrong spirit. And I'm going to tell you something else. God gave me that woman. Now, I went down to Pensacola at graduation, and there's a fella down there. He got saved, and he throws a little party every year for the graduates. And he used to have a house on the beach, and they had a big old long boardwalk down on the beach. And I'd go down there at a party, and I'd watch these young couples married holding hands, because if you're not, you shouldn't. And they're holding hands or arm around one another, and they'd walk out that boardwalk all the way out into that bay. And I'd watch them arm in arm, handing. Then I'd see older folks. You know, I've seen some about 56 years old, and they've been married a good while, praise the Lord. And they're holding hands and arm in arm. And they're walking out on that old boardwalk out into that old bay. And they stand out there and look at the sun or the water or whatever. And I said, honey, let's go. Let's go out there. So we went out there. Now, this message is not a pity message. And I've been around this church and preached here enough that you know me. You know me better. So I don't have to explain that to you. If you're a visitor here, I might have to explain it to you. But it hasn't got anything to do with that. I'm just using a personal illustration to get the point across. So we went out and we walked on that boardwalk. But we didn't hold hands. And we didn't have arms around each other. And the reason is because I can't. You say, why can't you? Well, I want to. Well, when I walk with my wife, I want to hold her hand. When I walk with my wife, I want my arm around her. I'm telling you, I do. I'm telling you, I want to get just as close to my wife out there that is decently possible in public. I want to do that. I want the world to see that I love this woman, and this woman loves me. I want the world to see that. And so I can't do that. You say, why? Well, just something gets... And this whole message leading up to this one point, brother. The worst thing about these crutches is they keep you from getting as close to the one you love. Get right with God, and they never tell anybody how to do it. You know what's wrong? You know why you can't get close to God like you want to? If I want to get close to my wife, you know what I do? I met my wife in a crowd. That's where I met Jesus Christ. Met him in a crowd. There were other people around. And if my wife were here this morning, her and I could have good fellowship with y'all. I mean, we could. But brethren, the best and closest fellowship I have with my wife is alone. Let me tell you something. If you have to have, I'm not maligning the local church. I'm strong local church because God is. So you understand me clearly. You need to be here. You violate the Bible when you don't assemble together. You violate the Word of God. You need to be in one. You need to work with. I'm not saying that, but I'm telling you this. If you have to be around other people to have a good relationship with Jesus Christ, there's something wrong between you and Jesus Christ. If I cannot have a good relationship with my wife except around other people, then I'm putting on a show, and my wife's putting on a show, and there's something wrong in that relationship. He said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. He said, Brother Harrison, are you perfect? Well, in some ways I am. But if you mean sinless and everything's just all out of the way, no. But Paul says, I'm striving. I haven't attained, but I'm pressing on. What I'd do if I was you, I'd ask God, say, God, what are my crutches? He said, but if I throw them away, I can't walk. Well, the Lord will have to hold you up, won't he? The Lord will have to carry you through instead of your little crutch. Well, those are some things. When was the last time
you spent on your knees with the Bible. He said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Closeness brings faithfulness. My preacher brethren, always talking about power. We hear a lot today about power of God. Power of God. I'm not talking about the message. That's good. But I found out something in the Bible. If you dwell on power and want power, don't forget that a devil-possessed king in the Old Testament had the power of God. Because the primary thing is not power. If you seek power first, you've got the cart before the horse. The Holy Ghost came before the power came. The breathing of Jesus Christ came on them before the... And Paul says, that I may know Him. So our problem is, we can get that power, but if we don't know Him, we'll misuse that power. The first prerequisite is not praying for power. It's praying for closeness. Not to know about Him, but to know Him. And brethren, there is no other place that you can get to know Him. Now you can study it and know about Him out of here. Why do you study what you want to study? Why do you want that knowledge and information? Show off your intellect, your spirituality, so you can win an argument. I want to get to the point where I study this book, because the closer I get to Him, the more He's on. Brethren, I want to know it. Father, I thank You this morning for the time that You've given me. I trust, Lord, we've been clear. And I pray, Father, even as I know, as I've seen it in the faces, that the Holy Spirit of God has done. Lord, these people here this morning who lean on crutches, I pray this morning that they'll throw them away. And by faith, even as we've heard this week and been taught very good out of the Word of God about faith, they'll begin a close walk with You. Like that old hymn said, nothing between my soul and this. Lord, we do love You this morning, and we love Your Word. Speak to the hearts of Your people and get some glory out of this thing.
Amen.